Introducing a new course. Stand firm. Based on Peter's letter to the persecuted and suffering believers, the key verse is 1 Peter 5, verse 12b. I quote, "My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in this grace." The whole of Peter's letter highlights aspects of this grace, and that is what we'll be studying in this course, so that we too will stand firm in the grace of God. The Lord Jesus made it clear to the disciples that in this world, where we live for a varying number of years, maximum 120, that they will have many troubles, but to be of good cheer, because He has overcome the world. And so, if we believe in Him, repent of our sins, and remain in Him, we will be with Him forever, when our term is over in this world. Today's message is titled, A Living Hope. John Maxwell tells about a small town in Maine that was proposed for the site of a great hydroelectric plant. A dam will be built across the river and the town submerged. When the project was announced, the people were given many months to arrange their affairs and relocate. During those months, a curious thing happened. All improvements ceased. No painting was done. No repairs were made on the buildings, roads, or sidewalks. Day by day, the whole town got shabbier and shabbier. A long time before the waters came, the town looked uncared for and abandoned, even though the people had not yet moved away. One citizen explained, "Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present." That town was cursed with hopelessness because it had no future. Right now, with the pandemic and the attendant lockdown for about a year, many deaths, an increase in mental health challenges, optimism has suddenly lifted with the roadmap announced by the Prime Minister to reopening of schools and other places. This has lifted people's spirit. People are now looking forward to reopening businesses, schools, corporate life. This is absolutely wonderful to see and experience. Even with the restoration of freedom to meet loved ones and life returning to normal, it is good to note that people will still die one day. But the hope that Peter is talking about leads to a wonderful life forever. Peter calls it a living hope. We are looking forward to a perfect life, no illness, no more death, and of course, no COVID. Anyone who has suffered and is still suffering from persecution, false accusation, discrimination, loss of a dear one is being encouraged to stand firm in the grace of God because of God's faithfulness, love, promises, and almightiness. These hardships will not last forever, but the promise of God, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, outlast any suffering in this world. However, If your suffering is because of any wrongdoing on your part, you need to acknowledge it. Confess to Jesus. Repent. That's turn away from it. Ask for forgiveness and change your behavior and your attitude. Jesus came to deliver us from sin and the consequences of sin, and he laid down his life for that purpose. He will never approve of sin or a sinful behavior, no matter how long we spend in a church building or in justifying ourselves. If, however, we stand firm in the living hope, we gain mental, physical, and emotional upliftment. In the book of 1 John 3, verse 2b and verse 3, it says, "But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Also, Isaiah, prophesying to King Ahaz, said, "If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Hold on to a living hope." Our main text today is 1 Peter 1, verses 1 to 12. I read, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that will follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things." As we stand firm in the living hope, there are situations and people that will have us believe otherwise, that God is losing media influences, wars, earthquakes, persecutions by individuals and governments, falling value of your currency, increased uncertainty, ill health. Also, as believers, if things are going badly in our lives, we find ourselves wondering when we are falsely accused as well. When we have been waiting for an answer for a particular need for ages, Peter encourages us to stand firm. Stand firm. Because we have a living hope. No one hopes for what they can see or already have. We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Hope is what keeps us going. Without hope, we give up. Like the story that is told by Viktor Frankl, who in the book Man's Search for Meaning tells of his years trapped in indescribable horrors of Auschwitz and Dachau. He was transported there like a despised animal, given 2 minutes to strip naked or be whipped. Every hair was shaved from his body. He was condemned to a living death. His father, mother, brother, and wife died in the camps or were sent to the gas ovens. His existence was full of cold, fear, starvation, pain, lice, vermin, dehumanization, exhaustion, and terror. Frankl wrote that he was able to survive because he never lost the quality of hope. Those prisoners who lost faith in the future were doomed, he wrote. When a prisoner lost hope, Frankl said, he let himself decline, becoming subject to mental and physical decay. He will die from the inside out. Frankl said that this usually happened quite suddenly. One morning, a prisoner would just refuse to get up. He wouldn't get dressed or wash or go outside to the parade grounds. No matter the amount of pleading by his fellow prisoners, no threatening by the captors would have any effect. Losing all hope, he has simply given up. He will lay there in his own excrement till he died. American soldiers later told Frankl that this behavior pattern existed also among prisoners of war and was called give up itis. When the prisoner lost hope, said Frankl, he lost his spiritual hold. The condition was called give up itis. In Romans 8, we are encouraged to have a living hope because the Holy Spirit gives us the assurance that no matter what happens in this world, God always wins. How do we have a living hope? First point, be alive in Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and Lord. Repent of your sins and ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then continue to obey God. Paul puts it this way: I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Also, Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let this be the same with you. A second point on how to have a living hope is to pray. Pray. Prayer is the greatest expression of Christian hope. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. It was said that that was his custom. What is your custom when it comes to praying? When we pray, we are saying thank you to the Almighty God. When we pray, we are saying that although things may seem bad, we know who is in charge and he always wins. Let's remember again, Daniel had a choice to stop praying just for 30 days or face a den of hungry lions. He chose not to stop praying. That was how important prayer was to him. God came in and made the lions not to consider Daniel as food. The third point here is to live daily in the Spirit. Like Anna, who even though she was widowed after 7 years of marriage, she remained devoted to God. She never left the presence of God. And she became very old. Then, as she stayed devoted to God, she saw Jesus as a baby in the temple and gave thanks. She gave thanks to God and spoke about Jesus to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So, be a witness of Christ always. When we stay devoted to God through obedience, we know the encouragement of God from within, and we also have the living hope that nothing can separate us from the love of God. As I conclude, I say that Christians should constantly remind themselves of the great hope we have, which will be fully realized when Jesus returns. This enables us to experience great joy, even in the midst of current difficulties. God bless you abundantly.